This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
There will be final school bells that emancipate student bodies, and the orchestra of crickets that makes fireflies dance. But before any of that, there will be Audi turbocharged engines, available quattro all-wheel drive, and LED DRL, which means summer is here, and there's never been a better time to get into this.
I'm Crystal Jones, inviting you to visit Gerald Jones Audi today during the Summer of Audi sales event for special lease and finance offers on select 2017 models now through the end of the month. Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road, or on the web at geraldjonesaudi.com.
Well, Jerry West was a 14-time NBA All-Star. He's a member of the NBA's 50th anniversary team. He has been an NBA executive for more than 30 years, two times Executive of the Year. He is also an ambassador for the Greenbrier in his home state of West Virginia. It is a pleasure to welcome Jerry West to the Augusta Golf Show for the very first time. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. I have wanted to do this for a very long time. Thank you for finding some time.
Well, thank you.
How'd you get started playing golf? Who introduced you to the game?
Well, it was a long time ago, to be honest with you. I didn't start until I was like 23 years old. My first year in the NBA, I played in every All-Star game. And they gave us a set of golf clubs for everyone. And heck, I never touched a golf club in my life. And they sat in my garage for about a year. And a friend of mine who I played with, a teammate, Frank Selvey, he was a golfer. And so we started to go to the driving range, and obviously get out there and never put a club in my hand. I just had no idea what was going on. So I would get up and swing as hard as I could, and the ball would obviously go either left or right, depending on where the club was. And I just got to the point where it was so addictive, I couldn't believe it. But at that point in time, you could not even play golf when the season was going on. The coach was definitely against it, and so I didn't even know how to play. I didn't know the decorum of golf at all. And one summer, after that first introduction to it, I got my first chance to play on a public course in Los Angeles, and it was like, because I sliced the ball so far, there was never a hole that you could knock it out of bounds on. Everything was everything was inland, and I wasn't going to hook the ball. So I got out there with my friends and the one gentleman, Mr. Selvey, who got me involved, and it was just fun to be out there. It was outside. I love the outdoors. Obviously, I love the sunshine. And that was my first introduction to it. And then as my life went on, I had started to take a little bit more interest in it, and I could always seem to be able to get the ball and putt the ball. That was seemed to be the easiest part for me. Learning how to hit short shots, to me, which is really the strength of anyone's game. A lot of great ball strikers, but the most important thing is to be able to hit shots around the green, because you're just not going to hit every darn green.
Yeah.
And so I would do that, and then had the ability to make putts. So I got kind of hooked on it, and all of a sudden I got, I think it was like a 10 handicap. And I said, oh, my gosh, I've made progress. But I realized how far I was behind where I'd like to be. And a couple more years, I got down to about a 6 handicap. And, again, I only played in the summer. So I took a couple of lessons from some guys in Los Angeles, but again, it was nothing really serious. And I played golf with John Brody, who at that mm-hmm. time was a very good amateur, and then he went on to play on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And John said, he suggested to me, he said, you know, I take lessons from Jimmy Ballard. And I said, Jimmy Ballard? I said, I don't know any golf teachers. And so I went down to Alabama, where he was then, and I spent about a whole week down there with him. And when I came back, I got to the point where I could shoot in the 60s a lot. And my handicap went from a 5 to a +1 in a month. And I just shot so many low scores, but I had an idea how the club works and a little bit more about the swing. And from then on, it just seemed to be even more addictive because I could see the results of getting to understand the swing a little bit better. But and that was kind of the start of it. My lowest handicap, I was a plus three handicap at one time for about a month. And after that, I enjoyed, you know, competition on the golf course. And competition on the golf course always seemed to imply a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got hooked into it with a bunch of really good players. And I started shooting in the 60s every day. And the lowest round of that golf I ever shot was 63. There was one day I made 10 birdies in a round of golf, and so it was fun. And the competition part of it, and just the thrill of being able to go out and hit the ball in the middle of the club face, you know, being able to draw it, being able to cut it, those were things that I'd never dreamed possible when I first picked up a golf club. And I so marvel at the players today and how many great, great players there are, young players that are really, really good, that it's just amazing how this game has caught on. And particularly the length of these fields, the strength of these fields today, it's amazing. I love the game. I know how hard it is. It's probably the ultimate challenge for anyone's personality. It's the ultimate challenge for courage. It's an ultimate challenge when you get some really bad breaks as you can in golf. But it's just one of those games that I wish I'd had a chance to pick it up when I was young.
We're talking with Jerry West here on the Augusta Golf Show. You've spent your life around elite athletes, and you've spent some of your life around some of these elite golfers. Are they different than most athletes, or are they pretty similar?
Well, you know what? I think that there are many of them. I knew a lot of the older ones, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them then seem to be a little bit more personable because they grew up when golf was really nothing, and you know, there wasn't a lot of money in it. There's a lot of tremendous golfers who have not the benefit of all the instructions, all the videos, all the training aids, but yet they were tremendous players in their own right. And I got to know a lot of those guys, and more importantly, to watch how they played. And you watch just the size of the players today,
yeah,
the prodigious lengths that they're hitting the ball. Obviously, equipment has made a huge difference, and the balls have made a huge difference. But it's still the same game. It's still the same game. You have guys that hit the ball. I mean, just it's crazy where they hit it, and they. To me, where they hit it, they should hit a lot more greens than they do, but they don't. But the advent of all the training aids, getting up the ball up and down the green, the incredible instructions, the fitness part of it, the size of the players today, that at one time everyone said you couldn't play golf unless you were a certain size. Well, my gosh, these guys are getting bigger, stronger, and better. And some of these courses are obsolete. Because of the length of these people today.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just amazing where the game has come. And to watch the young kids pick it up and become, my goodness, they shoot 12 years old, can shoot par. It's just amazing to me what instructions and the knowledge you can get online, you know, YouTube. I mean, you can get every training aid you want. And it's just the advent of this game growing and growing in stature in terms of the skills of the players.
What does one of the greatest players to ever play his sport think when you watched Tiger in his heyday, able to do what he was able to do so often and so long? How do you approach that? Someone who was so good at what you did, watching someone else be so good at what they do.
Well, you know, there's prodigies, and he was a prodigy. He was a genius, and as I say, it troubles me today because he's not able to compete.
Sure.
Because of all the injuries he's had and everything. But I got to know him early on in life. His dad called me a couple times, and I had a chance to get to talk to him. He's talking about how do you handle press and the fame that he knew was going to come with Tiger at that point in time. And then to watch him get out there at such an age of his life, watch him hit balls. I love to watch great golfers hit balls. I love that. That's my favorite thing. Forget watching them play. I just love the different sounds, how they can work the ball. Some of the things they can do with a golf ball are just amazing. But he was obviously in a class of his own. And just to watch his career, it was like everyone was – I always felt he had an intimidating factor that none of the other players had at that point in time. But I think that's going away as these college kids have gotten so good. My goodness, they come out and you know they play a lot of golf themselves. But he was one of those players that I so greatly admired, and obviously I still think about him in terms of wanting him to get back out there because I know what kind of a player he was. He's just an amazing player, and it's not fun for me to see him struggle with these injuries and everything. It's just not fun, and I want to wish him nothing but the best. And you know, it would be good to have someone out like him out in the course, on the courses, and particularly the big events where he seemed to always shine. That he would add some luster to the field, and again, one of those iconic players that maybe the greatest player to ever play. Who knows?
Yeah. Let's you rightfully might say the Greenbrier. Let's take the Greenbrier out of the equation. Best place you ever played.
Oh, my goodness. I think Cypress Point is the one I most enjoyed.
It's special, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. You know, it just, you know, you go there and it's, you know, read some of these old golf stories. You go in there and the clubhouse, if you want to call it a clubhouse, it's just so fantastic. You can almost get the feel of the old players are out there with their old wooden clubs, or you know the way they were dressed then. It's just a special place. I love that place. I just think it's, if I had to play around the golf, that would be the place I would most enjoy playing.
I could not agree with you more. I'd like to meet the person who put that shrub in the front of the first tee, though. I don't know whose idea that was. Have you birdied 16?
What's that, par 3?
Yeah, yes, it's that par 3,
you know,
with the ocean, with the ocean on the right.
I've played four times, and I've never made a bogey on that hole.
Really?
Never made a bogey, no. Never made a birdie, but I had three good birdie putts, and a guy said to me, he said, and of course the wind and conditions make it obviously more difficult if there's severe conditions. But I hit it there, went 10 feet one time on that hole with a 3-wood. The wind was blowing pretty good. And the caddy said to me, I said, my gosh, this looks dead straight. He said, it breaks to the ocean. And I started laughing. I said, it breaks to the ocean. I said, we're surrounded by the ocean. And, of course, I missed it. But anyway, I love that course. And the difference in the two sides, it just, you know, there's some pieces of property that are special, and that's a special one, and they haven't done anything to hurt that property. It's just gorgeous.
You know, you are a true golfer. If I asked you, do you remember a play in the 1971 playoffs at the Garden, could you do that as well as you remember how you played 16 at Cypress?
No.
Then you're a
three times I played there, and I haven't played there in recent years. I've had an opportunity to play, but I just don't play as much as I used to. I just got out of playing golf. I'd rather hit balls today than I would play, to be honest with you, and hit short shots and stuff like that. But basketball, there's too many games, there's probably too many painful times that you don't even want to remember. But with golf, you know, as I say, I remember some shots that I hit that I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I could hit that shot that well and that close to the hole. I remember some holes in one I made.
How many? How many have you made?
I made three, but we played the Bel Air Country Club. The 10th hole there is, and we used to hit two balls off the tee, and I came running out there with my game. I didn't even have a chance to hit a ball, and I pulled, the pin was all the way back in the left, and it plays like two, up the hill, probably plays of the little, well, probably plays about 215. And I had a 5-wood, and I somehow I pulled the 5-wood out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I hit my alternate shot, and I hold it for par. I mean, par. So those are things I most remember. You know, some twos I've made on golf holes. I think one of the things that was probably really interesting is that in Bel Air, which is a great back nine, I shot 28. No one's ever done that back there. And has three long three pars that are all good holes. But I shot 28 there on the backside, which, frankly, I couldn't believe I could do, but I did it.
Do they record that? Is there a scorecard in the clubhouse for that?
There's not. I didn't even keep a scorecard. The guy who was keeping track of the bets kept the scorecard.
You at least won that day, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
But the last two times I played seriously, I was playing with a bunch of really good players. All of them were scratches or ones. And I shot 66 and lost every bet I made. And the next day, we always used to make like a half-stroke adjustment. And the next day, he said, nope, we can't make an adjustment. So I shot 63, and I couldn't get a game anymore. So I said, it's time to go to work.
Yeah. Well, you've scored 43 probably in a game and lost that one too.
Oh, yeah.
How proud are you, and I'll let you go on, how proud are you of what they've been able to accomplish at the Greenbrier over the last year after what they went through?
Well, obviously it's devastating for this area back here because a lot of the people here who have lived in this small community of White Sulphur Spring, a lot of them were retired people from the hotel, and obviously, you know, they didn't have the resources to be able to repair or replace a home that was washed away and the damage that was done, and to see that what has happened here, it is truly remarkable. People who have contributed to the causes here, and I've driven over there. Well, last year there was a couple of people that I helped to restore their homes. It was really important to me. People I knew from coming back here to Greenbrier for over 40 years of my life. I've been coming here, and I've owned a home here for 10 years. So. But to go into town and see this incredible, these little homes that have been restored and the ones that have been built, and the Mennonite families here have just been incredible in terms of building these homes and just giving support here to help these people get back into a place where they can feel good about themselves and have a home, a roof over their head, if you might. And it's just amazing, the money that has been contributed by people, the resources, the materials to help build these homes, and the people here and locally who have committed their time and effort to make this happen. It's a great story.
Well, you have been incredibly gracious with your time. I can't thank you how much I have looked forward to this. Jerry, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I deeply appreciate it.
Well, John, thank you so much, and for, you know, for the people who value the game of golf, it's the one thing I would say to everyone. You know, if you have a bunch of guys you enjoy playing with, you can play this game forever, regardless of how you know how you're what you shoot. It's fun. You can laugh at yourself. I would recommend that over anything, to be able to laugh at yourself, because there's times that you go out there and you just want to jump in a lake and throw your clubs there and never come in, but. As I say, it's a great game, and I enjoy watching the players. I love to watch the really good players practice. There's something special about that. The ease of it, their ability to hit shots, just amazing to me. And the courage it takes to play this game on a big level, at the highest level, it's a constant internal battle. And I would tell everyone that the things that are most important in life, and the things that I think that you get the greatest satisfaction out of, is when you fail. I've learned more from failure than I have from success. And these guys, there's no one to blame. You have no teammates. It's out there by yourself. You can't blame the elements because everyone plays the same thing. And it's just amazing how some of them, how strong they become and how great they become. But again, it's just a great game. It can be a it can be an activity for a lifetime. So I would suggest all you young kids keep playing it. And for sure, you're going to keep out of trouble. That's for sure.
Jerry, I appreciate it. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you, John. Great to talk to you.